Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
This episode of the Warriors Huddle is brought to you by our presenting sponsor, the Athletic Club Oakland, a local sports bar I fucking love. Look, all of our social lives took a nasty hit during the pandemic, and one of the awesome things COVID stole was the ability to watch sports with friends. It's something I've loved my whole life, and good news, the Athletic Club has our backs and has given that right back to us. The ACO has shut down their entire side street, not some parklets. I'm talking about the entire side street, created an enormous outdoor space, called that space the Town Gardens, and filled it with tables and huge TVs and their full complement of great food. It's big, it's comfortable, but maybe most important, it's a great spot to watch any and every sport with anyone and everyone you want to. The Athletic Club is now our go-to spot to watch all sports. And with the NFL right up on the horizon, we hope you're going to join us there. In fact, if I see you at the ACO and you're in any type of huddle gear, beer, in fact, maybe beers on me. The Athletic Club Oakland, where sports fans can be sports fans again.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in. What's that with me, Bram? No Marcus or Maxime today, which could mean remarkably shitty sound, but I am fired up to announce that rejoining me, the Golden State beat writer for the Bay Area News Group, the host of the Locked On Warriors podcast, and an intrepid reporter who would never, I mean never, interrupt Steve Kerr during a Zoom press conference, Mr. Wes Goldberg. What's going on, Wes?
How you doing? I appreciate you clarifying that for me.
I got your back. I got your back. Let the record reflect. So I said up front that no Maxime and the sound is going to be shitty. There's a reason for that. So Wes and I are in my office, I mean studio, and instead of the normal two mic setup, we have one, and we're basically sitting in each other's laps. It's hell of awkward. It's not COVID safe. I'm not sure how comfortable he feels, but it is what it is.
Weirdly comfortable. Surprisingly comfortable.
Somehow that answer made me feel less comfortable. Let's go ahead and speed off, Wes. Fun episode today. It's an off-season one, and we only have one segment, and it's kind of a bastardized, like, smash-up segment, right? So on the huddle, we do this thing called the Warriors Oracle, which is basically just a mailbag that gets way too personal, way too fast. And then you and I have been doing a podcast over the last few months called Five Golden Questions. So I have come up with a segment called Warriors Golden Oracle. You like what I did there? Mm-hmm. A little mashup. And they are five questions that have been provided to us by the audience. I'll warn you, I picked some, I don't know, more fun ones than I normally would. I mean, we're getting a little ridiculous today, but it's fucking off season, man. So yep. It's fun.
Well, can I start this with a question of my own that I just thought of?
I mean, I don't feel like I have a choice. We're sitting here in each other's laps. Feel comfortable. Anything you want to do, buddy, go for it.
Anything? So Chris Haynes reported earlier this afternoon that the Warriors are planning to work out Darren Collison. Are you concerned about the fact that they are maybe doing that?
Why?
Because it's Darren Collison, and he hasn't played in the NBA for like 3 years. And even when he was, it was like, oh, okay, Darren Collison.
Here's why I'm concerned. I don't understand it. So, I mean, assuming that the veteran minimum is the veteran minimum, right? Like, they're going to bring him in, and it's going to cost them the same amount of money, basically, that it would for somebody like Paul Millsap or somebody like DeMarcus Cousins, somebody of these other names we've been playing around with. And the main reason I've assumed that they have not been doing that was because of luxury tax implications, and Lacob doesn't want to bust out the checkbook. It doesn't make sense to me they would be willing to spend that money for Collison and not these other dudes. So I don't... There's a disconnect. Like, I don't get where this is coming from or why the hell it's happening.
Darren Collison is 34 years old. Leandro Barbosa is, I'm doing some quick Googling here, 38 years old. So it's not as close as I thought it was. But how close are we to just signing Leandro Barbosa from the staff? Like, you're working on, like, I understand the need for a backup point guard is a real one. And it's one that they failed to address in the offseason. And something they still feel a need to address now, which is why they extended Gary Payton's II's guaranteed deadline to training camp, which is why they brought in a guy like Chris Chioza, which is why all this stuff that they've done is what they've done. But this Darren Collison thing, to me, it just reeks of a level of desperation that, like weren't the Lakers the last team to work out Darren Collison? And I guess it worked out for them because they have won a championship, but, like, this is a team that just teams that, like, cycle through. And I still don't get it with Darren Collison. Like, that was, like, the most random point guard in the league. And he left the NBA because he literally did not want to play in it anymore.
Last time I remember Darren Collison was at UCLA. It wasn't even, like, a giant, like, NBA moment. Although I will tell you, I now have a new Darren Collison moment in my life. That was some high-stakes shit, dude. Like, the fact that you decided to look up while we were recording whether or not there was a connection between Leandro and Darren Collison, and then it ended up not being there.
Yeah.
I mean, I was a little nervous, and you were, like, on top of me as you did it. So, I mean...
This is the level of professionalism that I bring to this podcast. I like to think.
Well, bring that level of professionalism to our first question, and here it is. The Warriors offseason seems to be like candy corn. No one has a soft opinion on it. I'll pause. That's true. I don't know if you've ever, like, talked to people about candy. Nobody's like, either you love it or you fucking hate it.
Yeah.
There's no one who's kind of on the fence about candy corn.
I'm a red-blooded American, so I love a good food debate. And it's
there's no debate. Candy corn is delicious.
Do you really believe that?
Yes. Yes, I do. It's just a sugar delivery device. Although, strangely, I didn't have you on the show sitting in my lap to debate candy corn. Instead, I used it only as an example.
But you knew what you were doing.
Yeah, you can give me a candy corn. Go ahead.
I have a candy corn take.
It's fantastic.
I agree with you. I think we're the first two of us ever to be on one podcast to agree on candy corn. I don't understand why people hate candy corn so much. Like, I don't... Is it a texture thing? Is it, like, you can't decide which color to eat first? Like, I don't... it is, like you said, it's just sugar candy. It's, like, people love... Okay, so people love Peeps, right? People love Peeps. I hate Peeps. Peeps could go straight to hell.
Oh, 100%. Those people who love Peeps are probably serial killers.
Right. But people love them because it's just, like, oh, it's just, like, marshmallows with extra sugar. Like, a candy corn is just, like... corn with extra sugar. I don't understand why people dislike it. I don't understand what the debate about candy corn is.
Welcome back to Debating Candy with Wes and Bram. I'm going to go ahead and push this towards the basketball section.
I have so many candy takes.
I know, I can tell.
We have time at the end.
We do not. This is the end of the candy section.
I ended up shoehorning a Peeps take into my candy
corn. No, you're not. And that's why I'm reeling you back. We never even got your candy corn take, and I am yet and still pushing this forward.
The Olympics, Euros, baseball, major championships, and concerts are all in this summer. You know what isn't? A wild and hairy bush. Tame your pubes with help from our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Their fourth-generation performance package includes the brand new Lawnmower 4.0. If an athlete treats their body like royalty, why not treat your pubes like Olympic gold? Fellas, do right by your balls and join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com with the code FANSIDED20. Manscaped also is throwing in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. Achieve pubic glory this year with Manscaped.
If you talk to anybody, any Warriors fan about this offseason, there is no in-between takes.
Right.
People are either positive that everything's gone exactly right, or everyone's pissy that they didn't spend the right money, right? So what this question asks us to do is split the difference. I only asked half of it. Here's the second. Play both sides. Give us something you like and something you don't like about the offseason? After you.
I'll start with what I don't like, because I feel like it'll be better to end with what I like. What I don't like is that they didn't address the point guard need, and they're still looking at Darren Collison. And that the guys that they did sign on paper are perfect fits. Otto Porter Jr., Nemanja Bjelica. Like, the Bjelica thing, I'll put a pin in that. But they both come with really serious injury concerns. And I would be pleasantly surprised if they played in 60% of the games this year. And that doesn't seem great. Like, and then people will say, well, yeah, you got them for the minimum. Like, what do you expect? They're good players at the minimum. But also, all right, but the Warriors needed reliable role players. Yeah. So I don't care, like, what the cost was. They did not get reliable role players this offseason. They just did not. And if you're and if that's the case, then you're asking a whole lot of rookies like Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga, who, again, I came off really impressed with from Las Vegas, but they're still rookies. So there has to be a grain of salt that comes with that. So that's what I don't like. What I do like is that Otto Porter Jr. and Nemanja Bjelica are really great fits on paper, and there is a chance that they do get healthy. I don't think that NBA players typically stay unhealthy their entire careers. Like, maybe they're due for a healthy season. I guess that's the bet that the Warriors are making. So with Bjelica, they have been looking for a guy like him for so long. Like, the Dragon Bender thing, even the DeMarcus Cousins thing to a certain extent. They've been looking for a stretch five that you could tell Steve Kerr has a box of plays set up in the corner of his office, just be like, just get me a five who can shoot threes, and I can just, like, unleash all these great, like, you know, five-man setups. Like, and it's, you could just tell he's going to have fun until Bjelica gets hurt. But so I like that. I like what we're going to see with that. I like the Otto Porter thing because it gives you a guy who can theoretically fit into that closing lineup. I love the Andre Iguodala addition. Yeah. I don't care if he ever plays. Just what he's going to do in the locker room by itself is a win. So for that, and then, you know, the rookies looked good. So, like, it is, their offseason is like candy corn in a way that, like, well, maybe this metaphor doesn't work, but it could either completely explode in their face and not work, which is not a thing candy corn does, or completely hit and deliver, and all these big ifs check off, and you've got yourself a great offseason with a ton of role players and a ton of assets and a ton of options for Steve Kerr to use in the short term.
Which is something candy corn always does. I also love the idea of somebody looking at candy corn and just being completely stricken and paused because they don't know which color to eat first. I don't think that's an actual thing that happens.
What color do you eat first?
I don't remember the three colors involved. I just jump in the whole thing, dude. It's not very big. How many bites are you taking of candy corn?
Oh, you gotta go one at a time. Do you, when you eat like a Sour Patch Kid or something, do you just eat the whole thing, or do you eat like the head first and then go?
Oh, it's a fun fact. We're not gonna have a goddamn candy debate. You are not gonna pull me into a candy debate outside of me telling you the whole serial killer peeps thing. I will tell you something I like and dislike. I'll start with something I like. The Warriors took last year's roster and they made a contender. Now, don't take my word for it. Right? I am an unabashed homer. There's absolutely no question. Instead of taking my word, take two people whose opinion you have to respect. First one's easy, Steph Curry. Steph Curry didn't have to sign that extension. There is absolutely no reason that he had to take that money because he could have gotten it from any franchise anywhere. The idea that he came out when he did during this offseason, right after those signings, I think it's fair to explicitly pull out. Look, he gave a thumbs up. If Steph's on board with him, you know, doing well, so am I. But way more importantly, Wes, way more. There have been these rankings that have been coming out recently. ESPN has them. NBA.com has them. Pick a fan, they'll have one. And they give you the top 10 in the West, top 10 in the NBA, top 10 in the East, the whole nine yards. Well, fuck about those rankings. Not one of them. There's one set I do. It's the people who could lose a shit ton of money if they are wrong. It's Vegas. Vegas comes out, they give us the title odds. If those things are skewed in any wrong direction, you know who gets their asses chewed out? Whoever the hell set up those odds. Mm-hmm. We're talking millions of dollars. Eight figures, nine figures of money. Here are the odds. The number one team to win the championship, Los Angeles Lakers, 3-1. I win 100, I win 3. Number two, Brooklyn Nets, also 3-1.
Oh, they're tied. Okay, I was surprised. That makes sense.
Okay, number three, Milwaukee, 9-1. Number four, Golden State Warriors. 10-1. So if Vegas views these guys
as the fourth highest contender to win it all, then I'm convinced. And for point of reference, number five is Phoenix.
14-1.
Okay, the team that literally just came out of the from the Western Conference.
So they have the Warriors number two in the West behind the Lakers. I have no problem with that. I think that there's a pretty clear number one in the West, and it's the Lakers.
Okay. We can, so on a future pod, you and I are going to argue where these teams land in the West. But if you're looking for something that I enjoy about this offseason, and I, you know, my first take is it's because they've become contenders. It's not my take. It's Las Vegas' take, which means something.
I agree. I put more stock, like you do, into Las Vegas' take more than anybody else.
Okay.
Is that more of a reflection of Klay Thompson coming back than them signing Otto Porter Jr.?
It's an uglier take than that. If you really want to take shots at this, and you nailed it by pointing out the Lakers and Brooklyn, when Vegas does this, there's two things that they're aiming at. One is the money I was talking about, which means, you know, this thing does resonate. The other is they're trying to take advantage of bandwagon fans. You know, so I don't think that Vegas actually thinks that Brooklyn and the Lakers have equal shot at winning the title. I bet you they all believe that Brooklyn has a better one.
Yep.
But they know that Laker fan will throw this money down, and so they put the odd here.
Well, you're the perfect person to ask this then. Golden State. I think there's certain teams that we know are Vegas fan teams. The Lakers always get a fan bump. The Dallas Cowboys always get a fan bump. Golden State, I would imagine, never got the fan bump until maybe recently.
Yep.
When you're looking at the odds, is there a fan bump there that you see with the Warriors?
If this was 2 years ago, then yes.
Yeah.
If they were anywhere close to the top 10, 100% yes. They were
when Kevin Durant was there, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and the year afterwards. When right. Durant left, before Steph got hurt, if they had kept them even somewhere towards the top 15, even though all of us knew they had no shot at doing it, it's because Vegas knew that Curry has a name value, and they'll some people.
That's true.
You know, the fact that they're doing it now, no. I think they believe in it. But, Wes, I'll give you a thing I don't like, because there's some shit I don't like about this map. So, with Lacob, right? And this isn't the thing I don't like, but during this offseason, they let the Kelly Oubre slot walk, right? They have shown a reluctance to spend money because they don't want to go into the luxury tax. We just made that joke and that analysis with Darren Collison. That in and of itself, fine. You know, they're still what? The highest team paying the luxury tax. You know, like they're still coming out of pocket. They're still developing a team. So I have no problem with that. Here's the problem I have. 3 years ago, right after they did the light years thing, and right when they moved into Chase Center, Lacob came out and said, it was almost like an agreement between the team and the season ticket holders, no expense will be spared, not a dollar. If we can get the smallest advantage, we will spend the most money possible. Mm-hmm. Good news, Chase Center is going to let us do that. Bad news, season ticket holders, you're going to have to pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, these seats are going to be crazy expensive, but like, look, we'll hold up our end, you hold up your end. As a season ticket holder, Wes, okay, I did it. I've done it for the last few years. And when they got hurt, I still did it because there was a possibility. Well, one of those sides changed, man.
Right.
You know, if he's coming out and telling me that no expense is spared, then that's not true anymore. Now we're sparing some expenses. It's not worth going after these people. Fine. Again, fine. I'm a fan. But where the fuck is my break? My tickets haven't gone down a cent. In fact, I bet you they have gone up other places. Nobody called me up to give me some portion of my PSL back. So if they're stepping this back and saying, okay, we are no longer spending every possible dollar to make this team good, then I shouldn't be asked to spend every possible dollar to go watch them. There's a disconnect and it pisses me off, man.
And I think somebody who took the businessman's side in this argument would say, well, you know what Joe Lacob didn't know when he made that promise was the pandemic was about to hit.
Yep.
And he's got to make up his money back. But you know who did take... provided discounts during the entire pandemic? Literally every other business. You could get a flight cross-country for $80 during the pandemic. My apartment in San Francisco, my rent has been lowered by $400 since the beginning of this thing. There's an understanding from providers and consumers that, hey, like, this pandemic sucks, but in order for it to work... So I'm... And like, I don't know, the Warriors, they haven't been in the playoffs for 2 years. They've been picking in the lottery for 2 years. They've won, 54 games combined in 2 years, something like that? Like, where do you get off charging this kind of money? Like, you're not the championship organization that you thought you were, and you kind of need people to fill that arena, because I'll tell you what, these last 2 years, nobody was in those seats.
At least acknowledge it. At least acknowledge it. At least come out and say something, because there this disconnect, and I won't take our time again by going back through it. But recently, it has annoyed me. It has absolutely bothered me. I at least need them to say, you know, that we understand that what we're paying now is still a little bit high, but our sights are still, you know, on championship. Whatever, something that at least justified it and acknowledged the disconnect. Because right now, it's just floating out there. Let me give you a nonsense. Actually, an awesome question. I'm not even going to tell it a nonsense question. Okay. I got an awesome question
does
that for
do
you.
Candy?
If it doesn't, but something tells me that you're going to make it about candy, and I'm already kind of annoyed by that. You may notice I'm slowly backing my chair away from you. It's the fucking peep steak. I just got tired of the peep steak, and now I'm sitting all the way over here.
They start coming out like different colors, like as
my God, Wes. I don't care. I don't care, Wes. This one, our audience member is called the Ocean's 11. I love it. Here's the question. Quote. If you were planning a bank heist and had to pick a current member of the Warriors to plan it, who would it be? Want me to give you some time? I got an answer.
I want your answer first, because I love to jump off of your answers to these questions. Yeah. But roster or just like organization?
Organization. I am reading this when I was going through it. Anybody who is in that building.
All right. I need a minute. This is a great question.
Think it out. Yeah. I will fill in the blanks here. So my easy response, the first intuition is go front office, right? Like, that's what these guys do. They make decisions. Right. But I'm all screwed up on that. Like, we know for sure that Steve Kerr is bad with details. And we just learned possibly, I mean, he would tell you that. I think that, you know, there's a reason why he's gotten other coaches to run the X's and O's. And if something is detail-oriented, I would imagine, as a bank heist, I'm not sure if I want a big-picture guy like Kerr. You want somebody who can really plan it out to the minute, you know?
Otherwise, hey, we're going to rob this bank. Like, and then what? I'm the big-picture guy.
No, exactly. Yeah. And he's like, it's a whole lot of rah-rah shit. Like, he's getting you all fired up, dude. And like, you definitely, your best friends in that
everybody
fucking
everybody has
band.
A role on this heist.
With, like, you've picked out dope ass masks, but nobody really knows what they should be doing. So I'm not there for Kerr, which leaves Myers. The whole Draymond, so I shouldn't care about this, but the Draymond KD thing made me worried about communication. So I feel like Myers could plan it, but I'm worried he's not going to get everybody on board. And if there's like a fight between bank heist members, he might not be able to work it out. So yeah, I'm going away.
If Bob came out and like said something really definitive in response to that Kevin Durant, Draymond Green thing, I'd be like, okay, now you're coming out like alpha dog.
He's taking control.
Like George Clooney status. Mm-hmm.
That's exactly
like,
right.
Let's do that. But he's not. He's more Matt Damon.
Rusty questioned Daniel during those movies, he always stepped up, and we didn't see that, which leads me just to roster. Now, I'm going weird. It's a weird take. All right, I admit that now. I'm going James Wiseman. All right, now here's why. Details guy. He speaks like 18 languages. We know how hard he tries in everything, and he's in a portion of his career right now.
It's two languages, so that's fine.
18, two, whatever. I mean, he speaks another language, Wes. Why don't you just talk about peeps? I don't need your goddamn takes on the languages that are spoken.
I do have more peeps takes.
Shocking. But I feel like he's good with details. I feel like he's in a portion of his career where any assignment you give him, he is going to try so crazy hard. He has a lot of time on his hands. He's still getting better. So Wiseman's my guy. Now, I'm worried that people wouldn't listen, right? He doesn't have that, like, veteran leadership. But once you make him the leader, you're giving him a little authority as is. So Wiseman's my guy. I'm shaky on it, but that's where I've landed.
Yeah, I don't love the Wiseman pick. I do appreciate your thought process behind it. I just think that he's got way too much going on as far as
language learning.
And yeah, you know, he's already known Mandarin. Now what is he going to learn? Like,
17 others.
Yeah. 16. If you count English.
I got it. I got the joke.
I'm going Mike Brown. So.
Wow, that's good.
Because I was going to go Steve Kerr, but you made a great point in that he's not detail-oriented. Because he's like charming, and he could definitely pull it off. And he'd be like, me robbing a bank? No. And like the cops would be like, yeah, you're right. Like, and that would be it.
You wouldn't know about the lack of a plan until you were there. Like,
right,
you feel
exactly.
So good.
Exactly.
You feel so good getting in.
This guy is going to lead us to the promised land. And he's like, all right, guys, we're at the bank.
That's exactly right. You open the door, and he's like, okay, go. And like, you don't know where you're supposed to go. The cops might already be en route.
Mike Brown would have that thing. Like, he would have the blueprints printed out. He would have it laminated. He would have it highlighted. He would have it like with those like, I never got to use these, but I always like wanted to be in a position in my life where you use like, those little tags that go in binders.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. That's such a power move.
Yeah.
He would have all those. He would like, call it, like pink, blue, neon green, all the color of the piece.
They intimidate me, like, although I will tell you, and I heard that, and I will not respond to it, it would kind of concern me if we got out of the car, hopped into the bag, and that fool had a binder. Like, I don't want a binder. I want him to know this shit. You know, like, I want the playbook to be in his head.
He would give you the binder like 2 months of it in advance. Like, okay. It'd be like, all right, study this. Is everything is every contingency to everything. The cops come from this direction every time. I've studied the last like 18.
Guy like this.
Like all of it. Mike Brown would have it dialed in, and he would go in with you, and he would look good doing it. All his custom suits, everything like that. He's like, this guy looks like he's here to take out a bunch of money, and little do they know, he is.
I hate it when you're funnier than I am, so I'm going to need you to somehow dial back the punchlines. Yeah. If you were involved, if somebody came to you and like, all right, we're planning a bank heist, you have to be involved in some role. It doesn't matter. Up to you what role. Where would you be good? How could you fit in?
You're basically asking me if I know how to plan a bank heist.
No, I mean anything.
I don't know what the rules are.
I don't, so like, drive.
Do I have
you know,
a guy
like,
who podcasts?
Getaway guy. I'm, okay, I know very little, very little about bank robberies, but something tells me, no, there's not a guy who comes out and does a podcast about it.
I would be the getaway guy. Because what drives me crazy in these movies is where the getaway guy freaks out. Like, there's always, like, he drops off everybody. He's like, hey, stay right here. Don't move. And then as soon as they leave, the guy, like, you know in the movie, like, this guy's 100% going to move somewhere for no reason, for some stupid thing. It'll be like some old lady crosses a crosswalk, drops her purse, and he's like, oh, my God. And then he drives away.
Not you.
So, not me.
Just to make sure I'm hearing you right, you'd be the getaway driver because you'd be good at not moving?
That's right.
That's the skill set you're
not moving with. Until I have to.
I'd be the planner because I'm good at not planning. Like, I'm not sure you're really...
I would not be planning. I'm like Steve Kerr in this. I am not detail-oriented whatsoever. So, no, I would be the getaway guy because I feel like you have to have, like, a certain, like, chutzpah about it. Like, you've got to, like... And you know, confidence about it. And so when they're like, don't go, and then you're alone by yourself while all that's happening inside, you have to trust your teammates, do all that. I'm like, I could do that. I could sit still for like a super like long time until I don't have to anymore.
I could be the guy who fucks it up for everybody at the end, who talks about it too much, who spends totally on it. No, I'm not doing a podcast. That was a terrible idea. But I would like, we're supposed to only buy groceries, and I've bought a gold Lexus, you know, I've come out in a full titanium, like platinum suit.
Bram, what if the first thing we told you, and you're like, I don't, like...
And as I'm telling you,
Rolls Royce.
You like, suddenly realize that all my teeth are now diamond. Right. You know, like I would be that guy. Like, whatever. You don't want to rob a bank with me. We go to question number three, whose answer I'm kind of excited for. So it's a three-part question. It begins with this. Who will have a bigger positive impact next season? And then we have a bunch of matchups. Here's the first one. Wiseman or Poole?
Next season?
Next year.
So I think most people's immediate response would be Jordan Poole, of course.
Yeah.
But then when you really think about what the end of the season can look like, what James Wiseman's role could potentially be if he performs well in that role, I mean, no doubt he would have a greater impact. But I will say Jordan Poole because I doubt Wiseman's ability to make that impact. Not forever, just next season. It's a lot to ask of him coming off of this injury.
Give you the same answer, different rationale, because it makes me less depressed. I think this system is more geared towards a guard success.
That's a really good point.
We have not seen anything from Kerr that can immediately bring in Wiseman, and only because of that, we can see the path to success for Jordan Poole. What you said speaks to me. I hope it's wrong, you know, that Wiseman's going to need a little bit more development time to actually reach who he could become. But I, you know, that would make sense to me, but I would also go Poole. Here's a second one. Draymond Green or Klay Thompson next year?
Draymond Green, because he'll play more games. But Klay is the guy who raises the ceiling, right? So I guess it depends on how you define impact, because I think Draymond raises the floor, especially on defense. Like, this team to be good is going to have to basically repeat last year's formula, but then on steroids, right? Be top six in the NBA in defense. Where they need to improve is, I think they finished 21st or 20th in offense. They need to get to like 15. I think Klay can help them get to that level. But without Draymond, like, if you just take Draymond out of the equation, you're not an elite defensive team, point blank. So I'll still go Draymond because he's going to play more games, splitting the difference that way.
I hope to God it's Draymond. So we are going to need so much from him. And then these two topics should not be connected at all. And I have no idea. I mean, we haven't heard anything from Steph. We haven't heard anything from the team after the Draymond KD interview that came out. But since that's happened, I suddenly feel like his position in the locker room has become really important. And I want everybody to still be, I don't know, like kumbaya. I want everyone to still be happy and everything to still be good. And for Draymond's impact to influence that, I think he needs to have a really big fucking year. And so I hope he does. I don't know for all of the health reasons that you just thrown out. We don't know when the hell Clay's going to be playing. Best case scenario is Christmas. That's best case. You and I talked about a possible January return.
Yeah. I still don't think it's Christmas is like a realistic thing. And this is just me looking at parsing through the tea leaves here. Before this schedule release, Klay Thompson himself on Instagram Live, not even like, you don't have to trust like reporters, people, like his own Instagram was saying early 2022. Yep. Bob Myers, early 2022. Steve Kerr, early 2022. Everybody that was involved was said early 2022. Then the schedule release happens. It's revealed that the Warriors are going to play on Christmas against Phoenix in primetime. And then suddenly Ramona Shelburne on ESPN reports that the target date for Klay is Christmas. All right. So the only thing that changed between us hearing early 2022 right after the draft and Ramona Shelburne's report was that the schedule was released.
Right.
It's the only thing. I'm not a doctor, but I don't know how the schedule release impacts Klay Thompson's
medicals. You're not a doctor.
For what it's worth, I'm not a doctor. So I am a candy expert.
Your peeps' advice was not medical advice. That was just a terrible opinion.
It tastes icky.
Okay.
I think that is the medical term for it, by the way. Yuck.
I know what icky means. I don't know. Are you going to give me like a bunch of definitions for icky? I'm on board.
In 18 different languages.
Yeah, my God. Only 17.
That's right. 16, really. I don't understand how the schedule release impacted Klay Thompson's medical report. I just don't get it.
I'll take it a step further. If you're a Warriors fan, hope that it's later.
Yes.
Hope that it's later.
I agree with you.
If you are in the front office for Golden State and things are going well, you know what you don't do? Rush Klay back. You let him take as long as you want. And so if things are going even pseudo well come Christmas, he won't be back then.
Yep.
If things are going even pseudo well come January, they'll wait then too. Not that he won't play at all. Maybe you'll let him come in and get a couple of minutes here or there, but you're not going to really see Klay actually playing until they need to force him into the lineup, right? Until they're worried.
You and me and everybody on this planet wants to see Klay Thompson playing tonight.
Yep.
But the most important thing for the Warriors is not getting him back soon. It's getting him back healthy.
I'll change that. You, me, and everyone on this planet want to see Klay playing successfully forever, and we'd like that to start tonight.
Right.
But it's that first point that is the real goal. It's not the starting thing that we're worried about. It's the ending point, right?
Yep.
And if you're the Warriors, you want to play it with kid gloves. You want to make sure that he can slowly build up the physical strength necessary to play in the NBA. And so you're not going to rush that unless they feel like they have to. You got to hope that they don't feel like that.
I understand it's been 2 years and we want to see Klay as soon as possible. Who doesn't? But also, dude, it's been 2 years.
Right.
If it takes two more weeks of waiting, you can deal with it. Like we just did with this with Donda, with Kanye West's album.
Yeah.
It was 2 years. And it took like three more weeks to get the final version. Guys, it was worth it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So just take the time.
Yeah.
Just take the time, make it right.
Well, in the other side to that coin, we could be frustrated for 2 to 3 weeks and then have the rest of Klay's career in front of us, right? Or you could have instant gratification and then get a much shortened Klay's career. Of the two, it's obvious which one we want. Here's our last matchup. Kuminga or Moody? Just next year, who has a more positive impact?
Oh, Moody. I don't think it's close. Yeah, this one's Moody. I think in Summer League, we saw exactly what Moses' role will be.
Yep.
It was high efficiency on a small amount of shots. So, granted, in Summer League, it was still like 14, 15 shots per game. And with Golden State, it won't be that many. But he shot it at like, take that last Summer League game out of the equation. Yep. He was shooting it at like a 40% clip. I trust the shot. The Warriors trust the shot. That's why they drafted him at 14.
Yep.
So the defense will get there, but he needs to just run the floor, continue to improve on defense, hit those shots at a 38-40% clip, and he did that with Kuminga. Look, it was really exciting to watch him play, and it is exciting, and it will be exciting to watch him play. But he's not going to get to turn the ball over six times in a game and just and play 27 minutes.
That's right.
He's not going to get 20 shots and make six of them. Like, it's just not going to, so it'll dial it back.
One of them is going to be handed a brand new role that they've never played in before.
That's right.
You know, I mean, Moses Moody played on a high school team with Cade Cunningham and Scotty Barnes. Then, you know, he's going to be put onto an NBA team. Well, even between that, then he was put on a summer league team where they wanted Kuminga to be the star. Now he's going to be put onto an NBA team that has a bunch of other people he's asked to work in with. So he's done that. He knows how to succeed as the second, even third fiddle. Kuminga hasn't. You know, every team he has ever been on, probably at any point ever, his kickball teams, you know, whatever the hell he played growing up, I guarantee you he has always been the best athlete, has always been asked to do the most. That's not going to be true next year. So he's going to be asked to do something entirely new based only on that. Yeah, I mean, Moody has done it before. He's in a better position to succeed.
Were you good at kickball?
So good.
Were you really?
Oh, my God, so good. Baby bounces. I was a first-round pick. I mean, generally speaking, number one.
That's what I was asking.
Yeah. Generally speaking, number one. I was like that dude where everyone would back up.
Yeah.
I miss kickball. I've never got to play. I keep trying to get people to play with me. It's super random.
I used to live in Walnut Creek. There was an adult kickball league.
I've seen it. I'm not sure I'd dominate it, so I don't want to play in it.
Yeah.
The closest to playing it, there's a thing called slosh ball where you put a keg on second base and you basically drink as you were playing it. So anytime you pass second base, you have to drink
it. To be clear, it is kickball but with a keg on second base. Yeah. That's the only difference.
That's exactly right.
We didn't have that in like third
grade. No, you didn't play it then. I'm just explaining you the goddamn thing. So that is it. I've always wanted to play it, never got to play it.
Why does it need a different name? Why can't it just be like, hey, let's play kickball but put a keg on second base?
How would I know that? Did I come up with a fucking name?
I don't know. I never heard of it.
No, I did not, and I'm going to tell you this story, regardless of how many times you interrupt me. Former, not only friend, former co-host of the podcast, Scotty, years ago had a birthday party that he was going to play slosh ball. And I remember getting all excited for it, too. Like, I've never gotten to play. We're finally going to do it. We show up in Golden Gate Park, and while we're doing, like, the initial 30 minutes where everyone wants to play, but you know, you got to say hello and like set it up. You can't just jump into the game. While we're doing that, somebody brought a dog. They brought two kickballs. That dog popped both of the balls. And I've never seen anything like that before.
Look, I'm not in control of kickball rules. Although I think
You're not in control of all kickball rules.
I'm also not a doctor. So we've established all of that here. But rule number one should be don't bring the dog. Like that should be 100% the rule.
Well, I mean, even if that's not the initial rule, rule number two has to be, if he's already popped one ball, let's break out the leash.
Right.
Let's go ahead and break out the leash. Like, let's, you know, like, fine, maybe you weren't watching it first, but when there's, like, shocked noises and everyone's really upset and you're holding on to that second ball like it's hella important, the dog shouldn't be out and about.
And you already commuted to Golden Gate Park just to play kickball and now the dog's ruined it? Like,
100%. Oh. This is all exactly right. We move back to nonsense, although we were able to find a little nonsense in that last question. Question number four. You guys have covered topics. You know what? I'm going to save this one. I'm going to ask you another Warriors one, and then we're going to go to a nonsense one. The Warriors one's easy, it's quick, and it's this. What will Steph's highest point total be next year?
Oh, wow. That's a really good question. I mean, it's a complete guess.
You're not from the future?
I'm not a doctor. I'm not in charge of.
We're finding out a lot about you, dude. Yeah, we're finding really a lot about you. Have you ever popped a cock ball or a ball while waiting for slosh ball?
No. Okay, whatever. I'll let that go.
The audience thanks you.
So what was it, 62 last season? That'll probably end up being his career high. I'm going to say 58.
I go 51, and we go back to nonsense. Quote, you guys have covered topics that seem to tell a lot about personality. Things like, have you ever cheated or told on anyone? Here's one my friends and I ask all the time. Have you cut school more than 5 times in your life? Don't answer me, Wes. Instead, let's judge each other. I will give you the absolute truth. Answer for me. So we'll cap it up till college. So skipping a course in college does not count between, let's say junior, well, you know, if you somehow cut between kindergarten and fifth grade, I'm very impressed you can include that. But I would imagine most of this is between junior high, you didn't even know what that was, between junior high through high school, 5 or more. I'm going to guess with you, I'm going to guess no. I'm going to guess you've told people yes. I'm going to guess you have agreed. Like, people talked about cutting. You're like, that sounds, absolutely, that sounds fantastic. And people wanted to include you in those plans. Like, you were in groups of people who were down to do that, like senior cut day, that kind of shit. But in your mind, you didn't feel that comfortable with it. You're like me. You agreed to do it, but then didn't roll. Like, you just didn't. So you have some cuts in pocket, but you didn't get over five. Am I right?
So when we talk about cutting, are we, it's like, hey, my parents don't even know, right? Like, it's not like just waking up and like
you know, it's not like a birthday day. Yeah, no, it's not like that. Like, you did your own thing and you bounced. And when you should have been there, you were not there.
I don't know that I've ever cut school. Not even like one time. I think there was a senior cut day, but it was sort of like that doesn't even count. You know, like the teachers are like, don't come in. Like, just don't show up here. I'm not going to be here either. We're all going to be at Ale House getting a pitcher of beer. That's what, you know, they did in Florida.
Shocking.
Dude, beer is like the best case scenario.
Am I right about the other guests? Did anyone ever like bring you into a like, oh, we're going to cut today. And you're like, yep, that sounds great. And then just didn't do it.
No, I think people thought that. So, all right. In high school, I had really long hair.
Oh,
I did. I had really long hair. Like, down to the middle of my back.
I would not have guessed this.
Yeah. I wore ripped jeans, a hoodie, and flip-flops to school.
Oh, wow.
Every single day. So people thought I was already cutting
school. Yeah, no doubt. Do you smoke weed every day?
People thought I did.
100%. And but you didn't. You were just looking for the image.
I just, yeah, it was.
It's weird. It's a weird decision.
It was actually, you know, it was comfortable. I smoked weed occasionally, but not to the point that it looked like I did. And I think people just assumed that, like, if this guy wants to cut school, he's just going to do that. We don't need to invite him anywhere. And he's probably going to places we don't want to go with him to.
They probably have, like, thought to themselves, I can't believe he's at school.
Right.
You know, like, what's going on here?
So, no, nobody ever invited me to cut school, as far as I remember. And I don't know that I ever really did, because at the end of the day, I was a goody two-shoes.
I was close, but no cigar for me. I felt really proud until we got the back end of that answer. All right, fire away. Judgment. What do you think?
Less than five. You pretty much already gave it away, but I was going to kind of go with this. I was going to go with this anyway. I think that you like the idea of cutting school. There were an occasional few times where you're like, that's a really good reason for me to cut class. Maybe you did it a couple times, but I don't think you got to five. I think at the end of the day, you wanted to just... You're a little too paranoid to like go off, and I don't think you would know. Maybe you did it like once or twice, and you're like, "Look, I'm too paranoid this entire time. I'm not even having a good time. I'm just gonna go to school instead."
So let's hedge this. All right. By the time I got to college, I mean, I took things really seriously, Wes. Really, so I got really good grades. I did really well in law school. I went to a very, you know, uppity, high-end graduate school. The whole night, all the things you'd want to see from an attorney you were hiring to represent you, I could fit that. Also, if the number was 50 on how many classes I cut leading into college, it would be over for me.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
I took some liberties as I was growing up. I was just talking to a friend about this recently, which is bananas, thinking, as a parent, I can't believe this is true. But do you know where Great America is? I know you're not a Bay Area kid. But so,
Great America?
Uh-huh. So
it's a theme park, right?
Great America is a theme park. Yeah. You and I right now are sitting in San Francisco. Great America is right by where the Niners play now. It's over in Santa Clara.
Yeah. Okay. No, I passed it. Okay,
there you go.
Perfect.
When I was 13 years old and in junior high, I cut school and went to Great America on public transit, thinking like the amount of steps that were involved in that and like the idea of that is so terrifying and such a bad idea. But did I cut school? Yes, I did. And it was more than five times, unfortunately enough.
That is surprising to me.
I can tell. Because there's judgment in your eyes. I feel like we've kind of shifted our relationship by me telling you
that.
I think
this podcast is over.
Yeah, I think so too. If I put on like a wig of really long hair and took off my shoes and socks, would you feel better about me? Or
I'd be right at home. At least you're still sitting on my lap. That's okay.
We'll always have that, Wes. I've stunned you into silence. What a great time to close it. I have no need to pimp us out. You know exactly where to find us. I'll leave it at this. If you have any complaints, criticisms, upsides, anything, you can throw it at us at warriorshuddle@gmail.com. Way more importantly, Wes is the man. His podcast is fantastic. You need more of him in your life. Wes, where should they go?
Well, you can listen to my podcast, Locked On Warriors. We're going to, over the next week or so, have interviews with other Locked On hosts talking about their team. So I think it's like a really good way for Warriors fans to sort of just get the brief on what the other teams in the Western Conferences have done, because that matters. But one other thing I would like to say is that when it comes to Warriors podcasts, please subscribe, whether it's mine or Warriors Huddle or whatever Warriors podcast you listen to. Like, the podcast platform is really, really cool. We have a really good time participating in it. And if you rate and review, that's awesome, especially on Apple, because it really helps people discover the show. But what's even better than that is tell your friends about it. If you're listening to this, you are a diehard Warriors fan, and you've come to the best Warriors podcast that there is. Tell your friends about this if you haven't already. I'm sure you probably already have. But also, like, send Bram a tweet, a DM, an email. Send me a tweet, a DM, an email. Just tell us that you really enjoy it, because we actually hear a lot more from the other side, people who hate it, but still listen to it. But it is a really rewarding platform, and we really appreciate all the positive feedback that we get.
I agree with him. Those takes mean the world, and if you just want to let us know that candy corn is the greatest substance on earth, you
White,
know.
White, yellow, orange. Those are the three colors. I wanted to at least get that in there before we sign off.
That's the order I eat my peeps in. I'll talk to you guys soon.
Good, good.